children, Aadhar, house, Pashu, animals, Dravina, wealth, Bandhushu, relatives, friends, and Rajya, kingdom. So, a king can possibly be attached to only these things. So, he says that Nityam Virudam, which is constant and strong in others, Avikale Jahav, he completely gave up. So, naturally, people start thinking that, oh, he gave up. You can't give up something that you don't have. Right? So, which means, if Parikshit Maharaj gave up attachment, means before hearing, he was attached. Isn't it? So, that's how one might think. But that is material logic. Okay? So, there are certain things, certain words, which are indicative of a devotee's mood, and certain things which are indicative of Siddhanta. So, when those verses which are indicative of a devotee's mood should not be taken to scrutinize the Siddhanta. So, this is one such verses where it is mentioned that he gave it up, so should not mean that Parikshit Maharaj actually was attached before. That's improper understanding. So, here it means that that detachment which was always there, it became even externally manifest in Parikshit Maharaj. So, Parikshit Maharaj was, because of being a Kshatriya, the internal detachment was there, but external detachment he was not supposed to show. We were reading this book, Hariram Chintamani, in that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that 11th canto talks about 26 characteristics of a Vaishnava. But those 26 characteristics are secondary characteristics. Kripalu, very merciful. Akrita Droha, you know, very non-envious, has no enemies. Like that, you know, 26 qualities are mentioned. But he says that the primary characteristic is Krishnaika Sharanam. Exclusive surrender only to Krishna. That's the primary characteristic. And he says that depending on one's varna and ashrama, the kind of responsibilities that one has taken, the manifestation of these qualities will be different. Like for example, a king, like Parikshit Maharaj, even though he may be a devotee of the topmost order, but externally some of these qualities may not be manifest. So therefore, you know, one has to look for the primary characteristic of surrender to Krishna. Krishnaika Sharanam, that's a more reliable quality. And here when it says that Parikshit Maharaj gave up this attachment, it means that that detachment became even externally visible. That was always there internally, but now it became even externally visible to everyone. The Prabhupada here writes that to become liberated means to become free from the Dehatma Buddhi, bodily identification. Bodily identification means Atmajaya, Sutagara, Pashudravina Bandhushu, Rajye. Mamatam, attachment to all these things is called bodily identification. But this bodily identification automatically, but this liberation from bodily identification automatically happens by attachment to Krishna. So, bhakti pareshanubhavo viraktir anyatra chaisha trika eka kala. It happens at the same time. parallelly. To the extent we get attached to Krishna, to that extent detachment also starts manifesting. Parikshit Maharaj had all the above paraphernalia by the grace of Krishna, and by the same grace of Krishna, he was able to give it all up. This he could do because he never considered any of these his own and always ruled only on behalf of the Lord. So, he never had any attachment from the beginning. Therefore, he could easily give them up because he was never thinking that. So Srila Prabhupada writes, a devotee of the Lord never thinks of the household paraphernalia to be his own, but he surrenders everything to the sacrifice of Krishna and serves under the guidance of a devotee. As such, attachment to household paraphernalia is path of darkness and attachment to Krishna is the path of life. But darkness can be turned to light by the principle of Yukta Vairagya. So Prabhupada says, darkness can be turned to light by the principle of Yukta Vairagya. But in order to dovetail, one must be trained. Therefore, Yukta Vairagya is for devotees of the caliber of Parikshit Maharaj, Prabhupada says. But for others, one must be free from all material attachment before he can be fit to hear and chant. So, there are few things that we have to discuss here. One thing is that dovetailing is not Yukta Vairagya, which is generally a common understanding. I have some material attachment and I will use it for Krishna, so that way it is Yukta Vairagya. But that is not what is Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya is a higher principle. So Yukta Vairagya means, as we saw in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, Anasaktasya Vishayan Yatarham Upayunjataha Nirbandha Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagyam Uchyate. Yata Arham Upayunjataha. So the Vairagya of that person who employs objects suitable for devotional development. So which means, is this object suitable for my devotional development? So he sees, that's the criteria. The criteria is not, do I like this object? Okay, am I attached to using it? That's not the criteria. In fact, the opposite is the criteria. Anasaktasya Vishayan. He must not have any attachment to using it. And that object must be suitable for his devotional development. Okay. And Nirbandha Krishna Sambande. And that object must be persistently used only in Krishna's service. Not that 80% of the time in Krishna's service, 20% of the time for my own pleasure. It must be persistently used for Krishna's service. So if these three criteria are fulfilled, then it is Yukta Vairagya. But this is very difficult. It's not easy. First criteria itself is Anasakta Sivashayam. The person himself should not be attached to using it in Krishna's service. So this is a very lofty level of practicing pure devotional service. But even dovetailing comes within the realm of pure bhakti only. It may not be the highest platform to practice pure devotional service, but nevertheless, it is not outside the realm of pure devotional service also. Like for example, let's say someone likes to drive. Okay. So he says, Prabhu, can you do this service? He may say, yeah, yes Prabhu, for some time, but after that, can I just drive the devotees around wherever they want to go. Okay, no problem. So he may for some time perform some service, but he may say that, no, no, Prabhuji, I want to drive devotees around. Why? Because, Prabhuji, I like driving very much. So is that mixed devotional service? Not really. So, how do you evaluate whether it is pure devotional service or mixed devotional service? So, you have to ask, you know, what is his idea of prayojan? If he wants to drive, he could have chosen to become a taxi driver. Throughout the day, 24 hours, no one is going to stop. He can keep on driving. And he will get paid for it also. Huh? So, but that's not what he wants to do. He wants to drive, but only devotees. Right? And by doing that, and of course he does not, such a person should also not want to give up Shravanam, Kirtanam, etc. Those core limbs he should not want to give up. But at the same time, having attachment to one particular service because of his past conditioning does not necessarily disqualify him from the realm of pure devotional service. It may not be the highest platform to practice pure devotional service. Just like every practice has Aruruksu and Yogaruda. Yogaruruksu and Yogaruda. Similarly, the practice of bhakti also, depending on one's attitude, one can be in the early stages of one's bhakti, and when one progresses, one may become malleable to perform any service for the pleasure of Krishna. But just because he has attachment to a particular kind of service does not necessarily mean that he is not practicing pure devotional service. It's not like that. But Yukta Vairagya is a higher realm. In Yukta Vairagya, the person sees, he constantly checks, is this, do I need it? And do I need it to the extent that I want to use it? And is it favorable for my devotional development? So, these three questions, if one constantly keeps asking, then he is slowly elevating himself to the level of Yukta Vairagya. Do I need this for my devotional service? This aspect is described by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his book, Bhakti Aloka. So, in that he writes, when he speaks about Atyahara. So, the solution for Atyahara he gives is Yukta Vairagya. So, who is a Yukta Vairagi? He explains. Yukta Vairagi is one who constantly asks these three questions. Do I really need it? Do I need it to the extent I want to use? And is it suitable for my devotional development? So, when someone asks these three questions, then they can avoid Atyahara. Like that. So that's the principle that's being described here by Srila Prabhupada in his purport. He speaks about Yukta Vairagya. Do I need it? Like, say, for example, a smartphone. Do I need it for my service? It may be yes. But am I using it to the extent that I may need this for my service? Which means, is it persistently being used only for Krishna's service? Then the third is this object favorable for my devotional development? So these three questions one need to ask. To elevate oneself from the platform of dovetailing one's propensities in Krishna's service to the platform of Yukta Vairagya. Can you pass the mic? Hare Krishna.
The first is, do I need it? Means obviously it is favorable. And what is different between need and being favorable for you? First and third aspect, what is different?
Yeah, more or less the same. Like for example, for my service, I may need it. But because of my weakness, it may not be favorable for my practice of devotional service. So, yes, it is definitely favorable. I may need it for my service. But depending on my conditioning, it may not be favorable for me. So, therefore, both these questions should be asked. So, do I need it? Am I persistently using it in the service of Krishna? And is it enhancing my devotional development? If these three questions, if one is constantly questioning, then he is elevating himself from the platform of dovetailing to the platform of Yukta Vairagya. Okay. Paprachachemam evartam yanmam prachata sattamaha krishnanubhava shravane shraddadano mahamanaha. O sattamaha, O great devotees, mahamanaha, the intelligent Parikshit, shraddadana, full of faith, Krishna anubhava shravane shraddadana, who had full faith in hearing Krishna's activities, paprachacha imam evartam, ask this question to Shukadeva Goswami, yad mam anupruchyata, which you have asked me. So he is telling that actually Parikshit Maharaj had the same kind of enthusiasm in approaching Parikshit Maharaj like what you are having in hearing from me. So he says that Krishna anubhava shravane shraddhadana. He had great faith in the process of hearing Krishna katha. In fact, throughout Bhagavatam, if you see, this is mentioned as the critical symptom of a person who is progressing in bhakti. So, even in Madhurya Kadambini, you see the various stages from bhajana kriya, anartana vritti, nishta, ruchi, asakti, bhava, prema. Those various stages are described in Madhurya Kadambini. You can see that the intensity of and eagerness to hear is the only quality that is very significantly mentioned. Other qualities are mentioned, but then when he writes a few paragraphs describing that person, the symptom that he very significantly mentions is his eagerness to hear. So eagerness to hear about Krishna is like a telltale evidence for one's progress. Either as an individual or as a community, when that eagerness to hear is going up or down, it's an indication of an individual's progress or going down in one's practice of Krishna consciousness. So therefore here Sukadeva Goswami is mentioning to Shaunakadi Rishis that just like you have tremendous eagerness to hear, Parikshit Maharaj also had that tremendous eagerness to hear. So in fact, this is what we saw. Yakkenapi ativagyena jata shraddosya sevane. Jata shraddho matkatasu. That faith in hearing is a very important parameter to evaluate ourselves if we are progressing in devotional service or not. So Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, dharma, artha, kama, dharma, artha and kama, they are karmakandya. But as a king, Parikshit Maharaj had to follow these.
Are we... okay, but...
yeah. So here it is mentioned that... But Parikshit Maharaj as a king had to follow these. But by the great association of Sukadeva Goswami, he gave up that also and fixed his mind firmly on Krishna. This is a very rare stage. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavan mam prapatyate. He thus became solely and wholly dependent on Krishna. So Prabhupada writes that as a king he had to practice dharma, artha and kama, at least externally. Loka sangraham evapi sampashyan kartum arhasi, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. To set the right example, even if you may think that you are qualified to give up your prescribed duties, but because you have a responsibility towards your citizens who may look up to you to gain inspiration to perform their own duties, so therefore you have to at least externally practice your varnashram duties so that your citizens are inspired to practice their own varnashram duties. Because if someone is not yet qualified to practice pure devotional service, they should not prematurely give up their varnashram duties. So therefore Parikshit Maharaj was even though internally detached, but externally he was practicing. But now that it was time to give it up, and he had already enthroned his son Janmejay to take care. So by hearing from Sukadeva Goswami, he became more inspired to even externally give up all these things. So, Prabhupada writes that this stage is indicative of the last verse of Shikshashtakam. Ashlishyava padaratam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahatam karotuva. That verse. This is the stage of ananya gatitvam, as Prabhupada writes in the purport. He quotes from Rupa Goswami and Madhavendra Puri. So, he says, Rupa Goswami writes, O Lord of the poor, do what you like with me. Give me either mercy or punishment. But in this world, I have none to look up to except your lordship. The Chataka bird always prays for the cloud, regardless of whether it showers rains or throws a thunderbolt. Like that. So that is the mode of this Ananya Gatitvam. So, King Kulashekar, he wrote one book in Sanskrit, Mukundamala Stotra, but he has written another book in Tamil language, which is a part of the Divya Prabandham, the 4000 verses written by the Ayyavars. So King Kulashekar is one of the 12 Ayyavars. So he is the personification of, he is the incarnation of Kaustubamani. It is mentioned, Kaustubamsham Daradisham Kulashekaram Ashraye. Glorifying King Kulashekar, it is mentioned that Kaustubamsham Daradisham, Daradish, he was a king. Kulashekaram Ashraye, I take shelter of that Kulashekar Maharaj. So he has written a Tamil book also, and in that there are about 108 verses, which he has divided into 10 different themes. He speaks about different themes of devotional service. One of the themes that he describes is the theme of Ananya Gatitvam. Ananya Gatitvam means where the devotee expresses, completely surrenders only to Krishna and no one else. No Ananya Gati. So, there he describes this principle by giving 10 different analogies to explain his own surrender to Krishna. So, he says, My dear Lord, when a mother slaps a child because the child becomes naughty, so he says that whenever a mother slaps a child because he became naughty, you would always see that the child would catch hold of the mother's feet and only cry. You will not see the child run to the neighboring neighbor and catch hold of her feet and cry because the mother slapped the child. So you will always see that the child, even though it receives a slap from the mother, it will immediately catch hold of the mother's feet only and cry. Especially very small children. The more they grow, they actually may go away. But then when they are completely sheltered only by the mother, nourished by the mother at every moment, even though the mother may slap the child will not run away. So King Kulashekar says, my dear Lord, I am like that child. How much ever you may slap me with some adhyatmik, adhibhautik, adhidhavik kleshas, but I will not run away anywhere. I will catch hold of your feet only and cry for your mercy. Then he says, my dear Lord, I am like that lotus flower. He says, why lotus flower? The lotus flower blossoms when the sun rises. All night she stays closed. And when the sun rises, she starts blossoming. So that very sun who gives her pleasure in the early morning, during the day, that very sun scorches that lotus. And the petals of the lotus become very shriveled, very, not so fresh. But when the same sun sets, the lotus closes. If only the lotus would have stayed open at night, she could have experienced the cooling and soothing moon rays, which would have completely, soothed her petals, which were scorched by the sun. But she does not do that. She closes herself and waits for the same sun to rise the next day morning, so that she would blossom and for the pleasure of sun. See, King Kulashekar says, I am like that lotus. How much ever you may scorch me, but I will not choose any other personality because he may be very kind to me. I will wait for only your merciful glance to fall upon me. Even if that merciful glance may scorch me, but doesn't matter. I will not open up to anyone else but you. So that's the example of lotus that he gives. Then third, he gives the example of a chaste wife. He says that a chaste wife may sometimes be treated nicely by her husband, and sometimes the husband may neglect her. Sometimes he may even chastise her or even may physically beat her. But the chaste wife does not seek for solace anywhere else. So I am like that chaste wife. I am completely surrendered unto you. Like that. And then he gives the example of a sea bird. He gives the example of a bird that gets trapped in a ship. So the bird goes and sits on the mast of a flag mast of a ship, and the ship starts going inside the ocean. So the bird is experiencing very cool sea breeze and is very happy that it's sitting there. But after some time, the bird feels little bored. So she wants to explore out and go and sit elsewhere. So she starts flying in the eastern direction. 1 kilometer, 2 kilometers, 10 kilometers, 20 kilometers. is only water everywhere. And then in the western direction, in the northern direction, southern direction, she realizes that even though I may want to take shelter elsewhere, actually there is no other shelter other than the mast of that ship. So he says, I am like that bird, my dear Lord, even though I may seek shelter elsewhere, but actually the fact is, no one else is capable of giving shelter other than you. So even though I may seek Anyagati, but actually there is no Anyagati. Like that. And he gives so many more beautiful analogies to explain his own unconditional surrender to Krishna in these 10 verses. So, that principle of Ananya Gatitvam was expressed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also in his Aslishyava Padaratam Pinashtumam. And he quotes many more verses by Srila Madhavendra Puri and Srila Rupa Goswami also. Like that. So, and Parikshit Maharaj is showing that same mode here. Samstam vijnaya sanyasya karma traivargikam chayat vasudeve bhagavati atma bhavam dridam gatah. Samstam vijnaya, knowing his impending death, sanyasya karma traivargikam, giving up all actions of dharma, artha and kama, dridam gatah, he became firmly fixed in Vasudeva Bhagavati Atma Bhavam. He became firmly fixed in Prema to Krishna. Again the same point comes. Karma Traivargikam Sanyasya. He gave up Dharma, Artha and Kama. So again one will say, oh, which means he was performing Dharma, Artha and Kama. Before he met Shrudev Goswami. But the understanding is that his practice of dharma, artha and kama was only for the purpose of setting the right example. That's one understanding. The second understanding is that kings like Bharat Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj and Parikshit Maharaj, even though they are pure devotees of the Lord, they would perform this kind of dharma, artha, kama to set the example. And sometimes they would not do that also. Especially in the case of Ambarish Maharaj, it is mentioned in the 8th canto. 8th canto? 9th. 8th canto. It's mentioned about Ambarish Maharaj that he would employ an Advaryu priest. You know, there were different kinds of priests. Advaryu, Hota, Udgata, like that. So, there is a provision that an yajaman can appoint an Advaryu priest as a proxy. And still it is considered as as the yajna or the sacrifice of the yajaman only. So the yajaman need not be personally present in a particular sacrifice if by following the right procedures an Advaryu priest is appointed. And Ambarish Maharaj would always make use of this provision. So he would perfectly perform all the sacrifices, but he would not be personally present. He would appoint an Advaryu priest to perform it. So that at that time he can perform his Savai Manak Krishna Padaravindayor Vacham Sivai Kunta Gunan Varnane and so on. He can engage all his senses in Krishna's service. So therefore, such provisions are available for such devotees. And they used to utilize such provisions. So it is still considered as Ambarish Maharaj's yajna only. But Ambarish Maharaj is not personally there. So the right example is set for his people. At the same time, he is engaging all his senses in Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam only. Other people means some bona fide people are there. where the provision is given that if for some higher reason, if for some very emergency reason, the yajaman is not able to perform, come, then an advaryu priest, a qualified advaryu priest, can act as the proxy for the yajaman. So what can be a more emergency, more important service than Shuddha Bhakti? So it was very valid for Ambarish Maharaj to do that. And the third point that is mentioned is that even though they would perform all these so-called karmakandiya yajnas, you know, for the rain and all that, but they never had faith in these yajnas. They never had faith that for my own devotional development or even for getting rain, I need not perform these kind of karmakandiya yajnas. But if I don't perform, all my other citizens who may not be on the pure devotional platform, they also will give up their prescribed duties. So just to pacify them, I am performing. But for me, I am not dependent on these yajnas or other varnashram duties. That is their understanding. So any activity which is performed without faith, Krishna says, is as good as not performing that activity only. Ashraddhaya hutam dattam tapastaptam kritam chayat asaditi uchyate partha nachatat pretyanoyah. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that ashraddhaya, without faith, hutam, any sacrifice performed without faith, dattam, any charity given without faith, tapas, any austerity performed without faith, tapastaptam kritam chayat, any activity performed without faith, asaditi uchyate partha, is as good as not performing. Why? Nachatak pretyanoyah. Because in this life it will not give any result, and in the next life also it will not give any result. So even though that activity has the potency, but only to the extent that the performer has faith in it. And if the performer has no faith, even though the activity may be perfectly executed, but it will not give any result. Then one may say that if Bharat Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj and others did not have any faith in these sacrifices, then when they were performing sacrifices for rain and prosperity, how they were getting? Because they were watering the root. But not for me. But they were not performing it for rain. Because they know that these activities are needed for a particular class of people. For them they have to perform. But because they are elevated to the level of Shuddha Bhakti, they didn't feel that they needed those practices. So that was for the... So what was the benefit of that yajna? There was only one benefit of that yajna. And that was not rain. So that his other citizens would not give up their duties. That was the only benefit of that yajna, which the citizens would not know. And Parikshit Maharaj and others, they were very much convinced that the rain was coming because they were watering the root by practicing devotional service. Yes. Can you pass the mic, Prema?
So, how does demigods play the role in such cases?
They have a system where when they see a devotee sincerely worshipping the Lord, then they are all... Krishna directly ensures that rain. Because the... Chayeva Karma Sachiva, the demigods are just like assistants for executing the karma. But a pure devotee is beyond karma. So therefore the demigods play no role in one sense. So Krishna takes over. Ananyas chintayanto mam yojana paryupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam mahamyaham. Krishna sees that, oh, this devotee of mine has given up all these other prescribed duties and has completely surrendered unto me. Which means, he will not be generating any karma out of his activities. So if there is no karma, which means he is not earning any currency. So karma is the currency to purchase any sense enjoyment. So would the Lord allow his devotee to suffer just because he does not have the pious karma to buy it? Krishna says no. Tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. I will personally provide it for him. So Krishna personally takes care. Oh, he is so sincerely worshipping him. Why should I deprive his kingdom of rainfall? So Krishna will personally ensure that there is prosperity and rainfall. Like that. Muktakesh.
Prabhuji, like, is it that Navada Bhakti and Varnashram is mutually exclusive, that he could have set example in terms of like performing his duty and does Navada Bhakti also? How, why so much Varnashram is shown as a very much exclusive, right? Like if
it, oh, not in that sense. He was in the case of Ambarish Maharaj only it is mentioned that while he was performing these yajnas also, which were Varnashram duties, but at the same time he also facilitated the citizens to hear a lot of Krishna Katha and Krishna Kirtan. So any successful system should facilitate practice at a stage where the citizens are qualified, and it must also facilitate to elevate their qualification. So the great Rajarshis, they very scrutinizingly made sure that whatever they are currently qualified for, a facility is given for them to practice it. Otherwise, it would be impious life. But at the same time, they also facilitated that they raise their qualification by giving them ample opportunities for Shravanam Kirtanam and Sadhu Sangha. So Sadhu Sangha was facilitated by that when citizens come in touch with sadhus, they can elevate their qualification from Mishra Bhakti to Shuddha Bhakti. And when they come there, they will automatically perform their Navada Bhakti nicely. So therefore, they are not exclusive. They are inclusive. In fact, Varnashram system is like a circular disc. And at the center of that circular disc of Varnashram is Vishnu worship. Varnashrama charavata purushena parattuman Vishnur aradhyate panta nanyat tattva shakaranam. So Vishnu worship is the center of that Varnashram disc. In the middle, in the centermost circle of that Varnashram disc is Shuddha Bhakti. Because in Shuddha Bhakti, there is no other desire other than serving Vishnu, other than worshipping Vishnu. So therefore, it is at the center of that Varnashram disc. So then, the middle circle of the Varnashram disc is what Vaishnava Thakur calls as Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti. So Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti means where Bhakti is predominant. As Karma Mishra Bhakti, Jnana Mishra Bhakti, Yoga Mishra Bhakti. So where Bhakti is predominant, but other desires are also there. So they are little bit far away from the center. They are revolving around the center only, which means they are constantly worshipping Vishnu. But then they have other desires also. That's why they are little away from the center. Then the last peripheral circle is Guni Bhuta Bhakti. Guni Bhuta Bhakti means Bhakti is there, but as a secondary element. As in Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. Here Karma, Jnana and Ashtanga is primary, Bhakti is secondary. So they are also rotating with Vishnu at the center only. But then, they are far away from the center because their other desires are more prominent. So, this is the Varnashram disc. But the Varnashram disc is based on Vishnu worship. So, the kings understood there that the kings first ensured that at least most of their population remained within that Varnashram disc. They keep worshipping Vishnu to fulfill whatever may be their desires. This is Varnashram system. Whatever may be your desire, stay within the Varnashram disc. Keep rotating around the center of Vishnu worship. But at the same time, if you are in the peripheral ring, try to elevate yourself to the middle ring at least. From Guru Bhuta, at least try to come to the level of Pradhani Bhuta. And if you are already a Pradhani Bhuta Bhakta, can you elevate yourself to Shuddha Bhakti? So, an opportunity to execute duties according to their qualification and an opportunity to elevate their qualification. So, this was the duty of their kings. They always facilitated this. An opportunity to act according to their qualification and an opportunity to elevate their qualification. Both are needed. Like that. Okay. So let's move on. So, Srila Parikshit Maharaj says, Samichinam vacho brahman sarvajnasya tavanaga tamo vishiryate mayam hare katyata katam. So he says, oh anaga brahman, oh sinless brahmana, Shukadeva Goswami, sarvajnasya hare katyata katam. When a devotee who is full of knowledge like you speaks harikata, because of hearing that, tamo vishiryate mayyam, all my ignorance is completely gone. Tava vachaha samichinam, therefore I think your words are completely befitting, because they are, I am seeing that they are destroying my ignorance. So, this is another classic example of where people may say, oh, when Parikshit Maharaj says that my ignorance is destroyed, it means Parikshit Maharaj was ignorant before. So, you know, these are a series of classic verses which indicate the mood of the speaker. So, one of the reliable symptoms of bhava is mana shunyata. That natural humility that a devotee possesses, out of which he may say something, but which should not be used to evaluate his position. So, you see clearly, Parikshit Maharaj is not beating around the bush. He is clearly telling that tamo vishiryate mayyam, my ignorance is destroyed. So, isn't it clear that he was ignorant before? So, that kind of material logic doesn't work here. So, but when a sadhaka, when he hears, then naturally his ignorance is destroyed by such hearing process. Pravishtak karnadandrena swanam bhava saroruham dunoti shamalam krishna salilasya tasharat. But when a pure devotee is telling that my ignorance is destroyed, that is indicative of his natural quality of humility. Manashunyata, which is a reliable symptom of bhava. Anubhavas, one of the anubhavas of a person who is elevated to the stage of bhava is this manashunyata. So, Prabhupada writes here that this verse talks about the practical experience of Parikshit Maharaj. And also, Parikshit Maharaj is inspiring Shukadeva Goswami by telling that what you are speaking is actually beneficial to me. Because any person, you know, one may say, like, what do I have to do? You dig a big hole. Okay. Pagar kitna milega? So, okay, you will be paid 10,000 rupees to dig this big pit. Theek hai, uske baad kya hai? Fill up that pit again. How much? 10,000 rupees. Fir uske baad kadda kodo. Uske baad baro. You know, if you may engage him, and even though that job may be worth only 5,000 rupees, you may be paying 10,000 rupees. But for how long do you think that person will do? Because he doesn't feel himself productive as being, you know. So, when a person is, when a teacher is speaking, and if the audience are just staring, you know, blank, with a blank face, and at the end of it, you ask someone, you know, have you understood? And they are not even answering that question. So that kind of thing cannot be very inspiring for the speaker. That is why you have to appreciate Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He had only one student. So, see, if in a group of some 10-15 devotees like that, if one or two are staring like that, it's okay. Not asking any questions, not participating, not telling whether they understood or not. But if there is only one student, and one student is absolutely quiet, not even telling, like that, then that means he agrees with what he says. But he was not agreeing with what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was saying. So he was absolutely non-responsive. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya spoke like that for how many days? 7 days. And after 7 days, yes, have you understood or not? And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, actually, I have not understood anything. So like that. So here, Parikshit Maharaj, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a mission. And Parikshit Maharaj is a very attentive and grateful hearer. He is here telling, actually, it's, I am seeing the transformation in me. I am seeing that my ignorance is getting destroyed. So please speak more like that. So, Prabhupada says that this verse talks about the practical example of Parikshit Maharaj. But this effect of destruction of one's impurities can be felt when two conditions are fulfilled. Prabhupada says first condition is the hearer is sincere, and second is the speaker is uncontaminated by material tinges. So if these two are there, then it can produce the desired result. The effect is that the ignorance is destroyed. Therefore, the crucial test of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is that one gets a positive enlightenment by such hearing. Bhakti Pareshanubhavo Viraktir Anyatra Chesha Trikayeka Kala. So, one should feel devotionally motivated, and one should feel the manifestation of good qualities and destruction of anartha navritti and artha pravritti. Both Kleshagni and Shubhada, they must have some manifestation of these two, like that, simultaneously. That's what Prabhupada is writing here. So this is the first thing that Parikshit Maharaj is mentioning here, that I am really feeling very inspired. I am seeing that my ignorance is getting destroyed by your speaking Krishna Katha like that. Bhuyayeva vivatsami bhagavan atmamayaya yatedam srijate vishvam durvibhavyam adishwaraihi. He says, again I desire to know how the Lord, yata bhagavan atmamayaya idam vishvam srijate. I would like to know how the Supreme Lord creates this universe by his material energy. Yata bhagavan idam vishvam atmamayaya srijate. How does the, I would like to know how the Lord creates this material universe through the agency of his material energy. Durvibhavya madeshwarahi, which is very hard to meditate on even by the devatas. Even this is very difficult to understand, even to the demigods cannot understand it properly. So how do we understand? So Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport that for anyone who is inquisitive, questions about creation is natural. For every unknown question, one should approach an authority, and such an authority should be a sarvajna, like Shukadeva Goswami. So for every unknown question, one should approach an authority to understand. He just wanted to know about the Parikshit Maharaj had no doubts about the origin of creation. So many times people have questions, but from the nature of that question, a person can understand how much he has understood the subject matter, isn't it? Like for example, you all understand, you know, from the question only you can understand, you can evaluate how much the hearer has understood, right? So here Parikshit Maharaj is not asking, oh, how does this creation happen? He says, how does the Supreme Lord create? Which means he had no doubt about who creates. And he says, through his material energy. Which means he also understands material energy to be the agency through which he creates. So he is not misunderstanding the material energy to be the independent creator, and or he is not misunderstanding anyone else to be the creator. So he very clearly understands that the Supreme Lord is the creator and the material energy is the agency through which he creates. So therefore from this it becomes quite clear that, you know, to what level Parikshit Maharaj has already understood. Parikshit Maharaj had no doubts about the origin of creation. He just wanted to know about the process of creation. Therefore, no intelligent person will doubt the hands of God behind all creation. So, intelligent person means he will not doubt the hands of God behind creation. Therefore, we don't accept the theory that the energy is independently powerful of the energetic. We don't accept that theory. And even Brahmaji, the topmost personality, accepts that Krishna is the energetic. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. So even Brahmaji accepts that. So then further Prabhupada writes in the purport, neither did Parikshit Maharaj ask directly about the Vrajalila, and nor did Shukadeva Goswami directly jump to the 10th canto pastimes. Okay, so now Parikshit Maharaj is asking about creation. But this is a sub-question. What was the original question? What is it that, what is the best thing for everyone to practice at all times? And especially for someone like me at the time of death, what is the best? So even though Parikshit Maharaj could have asked that question about creation, Shukadeva Goswami could have circumvented that question. Isn't it? Let's say there is a sincere student who is studying for his university exam or some final semester exam. So he approaches the professor one day before the exam and he says, sir, can you please explain to me this concept I could not understand. So the professor knows this boy, and he may say, look, I can explain it to you, you will understand it, my explanation will take 1 hour and further you will solve some problems out of it which will take another 2 hours. So 3 hours you will spend on this. Let me tell you one thing, this is not important from the exam point of view. So after the exam I will explain it to you, but for the exam you just leave it. Don't waste your time studying this, because he has only set the question paper. So he could tell this, and this is not cheating. This is cheating if the professor says that, but when Shukadeva Goswami says this is not cheating. See, he might as well say, oh, I really appreciate your enthusiasm to hear about creation pastimes, but you know what? You don't need this. Let's discuss something higher. Parikshit, now Shukadeva Goswami very elaborately speaks about creation leela. So Prabhupada writes here, neither did Parikshit Maharaj directly ask about Vrajalila and nor did Shukadeva Goswami directly jump to the 10th canto pastimes. Both of them proceeded systematically so that both the speaker and hearer of Srimad Bhagavatam might take lessons from the example of the procedure of reciting and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the right procedure to hear and speak Srimad Bhagavatam? Then further Prabhupada says that one in the material world must first know how the material energy works and then he can try to enter into the Vrajalila pastimes. Therefore in Chaitanya Charitamrita also Kushala Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami warns one about the pitfall of neglecting the Aishwarya Jnana of Krishna. Only a proper understanding of the Aishwarya Jnana can produce firm faith in a devotee. So firm faith in a devotee can be produced only by proper understanding of this, how the Lord deals with the material energy. Only those who have properly qualified themselves with this Aishwarya Jnana can properly relish the higher pastimes. As we saw, this Shukadeva Goswami mentions in the last but one verse of the 5th canto. So, 2nd canto, 3rd canto, 4th canto, 5th canto all speak about sarga, visarga and sthanam. Primary creation, secondary creation and the cosmic manifestation, how the universal system is set. So, all these four cantos in one sense, if you see, are discussing about how the Supreme Lord deals with this material energy only. So, Shukadeva Goswami is now going to start the 6th canto, which is going to speak about Poshanam. The actual nectarian pastimes are going to start. About how the Lord personally deals with his devotees. So, just before starting that, Shukadeva Goswami says, that in the beginning, the 2nd and 3rd canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, I have already described how one can progress in the path of liberation. Nivritti Marga Lakshana. In the Puranas, the universe divided into 14 parts is described as the gross body of the Supreme Lord Narayan. Which means, this is what? Virat Purusha. Made of his material maya. If one reads the description of this external form of the Lord with great faith, or if one hears about it or explains it to others and develops faith, bhakti and pure intelligence, then you will understand the topic of the Supreme Lord, which is like an Upanishad, very difficult to understand. So he says that the activities of the Supreme Lord with respect to his material energy, which means his activities as the three Purushavataras or the universal form, these are easy to understand. If one understands them with faith, hears them with faith, then one can understand the higher topics of the Lord which like an Upanishad are very difficult to understand. So which is easy to understand? The activities of the Supreme Lord with respect to his material energy is easy to understand. What is more difficult to understand? The higher pastimes. We may see it the other way around. The problem is that if we have not properly equipped ourselves with the proper understanding of who the Supreme Lord is with respect to this material world, then it is very difficult to understand what his activities are with respect to the spiritual world. Because we don't have any experience of spiritual world. Whatever our understanding of the spiritual world would be a material superimposition. And that's not the right understanding. That's what he is indicating here. So Prabhupada is writing, so that Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj are setting the right examples for what is the right way to, what is the right process of hearing and chanting Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay.
We have seen always that it's very easy to, as you said, digest stories and pastimes and then to understand tattva.
Tattva.
Of course, tattva always is important.
Yeah.
But you see that in current ISKCON scenario, when tattva comes, people are less interested, but more in katha and all.
Yeah.
But the tendency is to, just like Maharaj Parikshit was sitting and Sukhdeva Goswami knew that he's a pure devotee. So he gave them pure, full what actually he appreciates. But when we speak to audience in Kali Yuga now, we have to have less tattva and little more katha. It's like an injection, you know, it's like a pill, sugar-coated pill. So pastime is more appreciated. People like to hear that.
That's true. That in Kali Yuga, in my experience, Roji, there are two ways to approach this. One is the speaker can come to the level of the hearer and slowly raise him up. But the one possible problem there is the hearer may not rise up at all because he may get very much used to that level only, and because the speaker may also be understood only because he is speaking on that level, he may also be not inspired to raise that level also. That is one way of doing it. So if the speaker is fully convinced that he has to raise his audience level, then he may for a while go there, but very soon raise his audience to that higher level. Another way is if the speaker to some extent comes down, but at the same time he is very consciously trying to pull the audience to higher level and very persistently giving at that level, very soon actually the audience also rise up to that level and become actually appreciative of Siddhanta. So from my experience, the second approach actually works, but just that we need to have faith that the audience are ready. When they are ready, we must also be ready to give them the Siddhanta. So when that is given, then slowly, slowly actually the devotees pick themselves up and come to hearing a higher level of katha actually. My understanding.
It was mentioned that the tattva about hearing about creation is easy than to understand the pastimes of the Lord.
Yeah.
So what I was...
Understand in the sense, understanding in the right sense.
So that's what sometimes we... that's what I understood is that the pastimes may appear that I have understood means I have not actually understood.
Yeah.
That's what...
Okay. Correct. Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. So then he continues. Yata gopaya tivibur yata samyachate punaha yamyam shaktimupashritya purushakti parapaman atmanam kridayan kridan karoti vikaroti cha. So I was telling about the... By looking at the question, you can tell how much he has understood. So Parikshit Maharaj, see the sophistication of his question here. Very beautifully he puts. He says, Yata Gopayati Vibhu. I desire to know how the Supreme Lord Gopayati. Gopayati means maintains. Vibhu, the Supreme Lord. Yata Samyachate Punaha. And how does he destroy it? If someone has maintained, created and maintained, for him to actually destroy it would be very difficult. So how does he create it, maintain it and destroy it? Purushakti Parapaman. So how does he do it? Purushakti. He has many, many energies through which he does it. Atmanam kridan. He says, through these various energies, how does he himself sport? Sport means perform pastimes. Karoti, create. So in primary creation, Karanadaka Sai Vishnu is directly involved in creation. Atmanam karoti. So how does he himself? Atmanam kridan karoti. Kridayan. Kridayan means he makes others perform the pastimes of creation. That is secondary creation. Brahma, Prajapatis, so Manus and all of them, they are engaged in creation. Atmanam kridan. Then kridayan. He makes other personalities perform the secondary creation. Atmanam vikaroti, creating the bodies of living entities. So in the first case, Atmanam means he himself. He himself plays by performing the primary creation. Kridayan, he makes other people play by performing the secondary creation, in which Atmanam vikaroti, the bodies of the living entities are created. So secondary creation means creation of bodies of living entities. Primary creation means creation of the residences of those living entities. So creation of the 14 planetary systems is primary creation. So after creating the 14 planetary systems, they have to be populated. And the parameter for populating these 14 planetary systems is their karma and swabhava. So what activities they have, what pious karma they have, you know, accumulated, or impious karma they have accumulated, and what do they desire to perform? How do they desire to enjoy in this material universe? Based on these two considerations, the Prajapatis and Brahmaji, they give appropriate bodies to living entities so that they can populate one of these 14 planetary systems. Okay. So, that's what he says. Parikshit Maharaj is asking, how does the Supreme Lord himself engage in carrying out primary creation, and how does he engage Brahmaji and the other Prajapatis in carrying out secondary creation? So, which means he knows quite a lot about primary and secondary creation. So, in this one verse only, it's quite evident that he is not a It's not a question like, oh, can you please speak about creation? It's not a very generic question like that. It's a very specific, pointed question, which very much indicates that, you know, Parikshit Maharaj had quite good understanding of what he was going to hear about. Okay, let's continue. नूनं भगवतो ब्रह्मन् हरेरद्भुत कर्मणः दुर्विभाव्यम् इवाभाति कविभिश्चापि चेष्टितम्। ओ ब्राह्मण, भगवतः हरेः चेष्टितम्, द एक्टिविटीज ऑफ सुप्रीम लॉर्ड, अद्भुत कर्मणः, हु इज द परफॉर्मर ऑफ अस्टॉनिशिंग एक्टिविटीज, नूनं दुर्विभाव्यम् इव आभाति, सर्टनली इट अपियर्स वेरी डिफिकल्ट टू अंडरस्टैंड, कविभिश्चापि, ईवन फॉर द वाइज पीपल it seems very difficult to understand, so therefore I want you to explain it in detail. So Srila Prabhupada is writing that this material world is so vast, material universe, not one universe, the whole material manifestation is very vast, in which the scientists are trying to understand one particular universe, which is like a mustard seed in a bag of mustard seeds. Even that they are not able to understand. But like that there are millions and trillions of universes. And all these millions and trillions of universes put together forms only 1/4 of the whole manifestation. It's called Ekpad Vibhuti. And the spiritual world is 3/4, Tripad Vibhuti. So he says that also they are trying to go to other planets through mechanical means without changing their bodily constitution. This is impossible. Bhagavad Gita says Yanti Deva Vrata Devan. Like that. From Parikshit Maharaj's own admission in verse 7, it is very clear that he knows about the process of creation. It's quite clear. Seventh verse, the way he has mentioned, sixth, seventh verses, it is quite clear that he knows a lot about creation. Why is he again asking Shukadeva Goswami to know more? Prabhupada writes, because that much knowledge was not sufficient. Therefore, he says, Durvibhavyam Ivabhati Kavibhaschapi Teshnitam. These things are very difficult to understand even for the wise people. The Lord is unlimited, and therefore, with limited knowledge and imperfect senses, even up to Brahma, no one can understand the Supreme Lord. Therefore, one can understand it only from the statement of the Lord through disciplic succession. So only through the statement of the Lord in disciplic succession can we understand these subject matters. Otherwise, it is not possible. That's what it's mentioned here. Can you pass the mic to Ashutosh?
So what is actually the reason, even though from verses 6 and 7, from verses 6 and 7 he knows a lot about creation, then...
That's what Prabhupada writes here. Because that much knowledge was not sufficient.
For himself. Okay.
Yeah. From what he has presented, that much knowledge is not sufficient. He wanted to know further details.
Okay, which he was unaware of.
Yeah. So then he continues, Yata Gunamstu Prakriter Yogapat Kramashopiva Bivarti Bori Shastveka Kurvan Karmani Janmabihi. Yata Kurvan Karmani. Just as the Lord, while performing activities of creation and destruction, Bivarti Prakriter Gunan, he supports the Gunas of Prakriti. For creation, Rajas is needed. For maintenance, sattva is needed. For destruction, tamas is needed. Ekaha, as one purusha, during the primary creation, the Supreme Lord supports all these three gunas. Bhurishaha api. And through these various devatas, also he supports the three gunas during the time of secondary creation. Yugapat Kramashopiva. Does this primary creation and secondary creation, do they happen simultaneously or in sequence? So can you please explain? This is the next question. So how does the Supreme Lord himself, by engaging the material energy, create, maintain and destroy? And how, through the agency of Brahma and other Prajapatis, does he carry out the secondary creation? And does this primary creation and secondary creation happen simultaneously or sequentially? Yugapat, Kramasho Piva. Yugapat means simultaneously. Kramasho means one after another. So does this happen simultaneously or one after another? Can you please explain? Like that he is asking. That's the ninth verse explains this particular question. Then, after hearing all this, Shrida Goswami may say, look, Parikshit Maharaj, from your questions, it's quite evident that you know a lot about creation. And on top of that, you have told, Durvibhavyam Ivabhati Kavibhischapi Cheshtitam. Even the wise people, they find it very difficult to understand the subject matters. And previously he had mentioned that it's difficult even for the demigods to understand. Durvibhavyam Adishwarai. Even the demigods, for them, this subject matter is very difficult to understand. Even for the wise people, it's very difficult to understand. Why do you think I can understand and explain you all these things? Are you trying to test me? Or are you really convinced? Why are you asking me these questions? Why do you think I know the answers for these questions? So, Parikshit Maharaj says, Vichikitsitam etan me bravitu bhagavan yata shabde brahmani nishnata parasmimscha bhagavan kalu. He says, bravitu, you please speak about these subject matters. Etat me vichikitsitam, about which I have asked you. Why he should speak? Shabde brahmani nishnata. Because you, Shukadeva Goswami, you are expert in designing the truth in the scriptures. Yata Bhagavan, just as Krishna himself knows, the same way we also know. Because you also received that knowledge in Parampara. Parasmimscha Bhavan Kalu, and certainly you have realized Krishna. So therefore, I think, my dear Shukadeva Goswami, you are definitely qualified to answer these questions. So please speak. Same thing mentioned in 11th canto. Is it Tasmat Gurum Prabhadyeta Jigyasa Shreyam Uttamam Shadde Pareja Nishnatam Brahmani Upasamashrayam? He says same thing. Shadde Brahmani Nishnatam, you are expert in designing the truth in the scriptures, just as Krishna himself, and you have also realized Krishna. So you have the knowledge, and that knowledge has transformed into realization. So therefore, I think you are qualified to answer these questions. So please speak about these subject matters. Okay. So these are the questions put forth by Parikshit Maharaj. So he is asking about creation. So this chapter is titled The Process of Creation. But the process of creation is not described in this chapter. Questions about the process of creation, they are asked. So probably for that reason, Prabhupada titles this chapter as The Process of Creation. Actually, the process of creation will be described in the next chapter. But this chapter speaks about Parikshit Maharaj's questions about creation. So basically, Parikshit Maharaj has, please speak about primary creation, please speak about secondary creation, and explain how the Lord carries out the primary creation through the agency of Maya, and how he employs Brahmaji and other demigods to other Prajapatis to carry out the secondary creation, and does this primary creation and secondary creation happen at once or sequentially? These are the various questions asked by Parikshit Maharaj to Shukadeva Goswami. So now Suta Goswami says, Ittutamantrito rajnya gunanukatane harehe rishikesham manasmritya prativaktam prachakrame. Iti upamantrito rajnya, thus being requested by the king, gunanukatane harehe, to speak about the qualities of the Lord, rishikesham anusmritya, Shukadeva Goswami, remembering Krishna, Rishikesha, prativaktam prachakrame, he prepared to answer. So, why is the word Rishikesham Anusmritya is indicated? It could have been Krishnam Anusmritya, Mukundam Anusmritya, or Gadadaram Anusmritya. It could have been any of these words which indicate Krishna only. But the word Rishikesham Anusmritya indicates the nature of prayers that Shukadeva Goswami is going to offer now. Shukadeva Goswami is not going to directly start speaking about creation. He is going to first offer prayers, which constitute the second half of this chapter. So he is going to offer prayers to Krishna. And if you see, the nature of these prayers is praying for empowerment. Please empower me to speak about these subject matters. Please empower my senses. So therefore, Rishikesham Anusmritya Prativaktum Prachakrame. Because Krishna is Rishika Isha, the Lord of the senses, so he is praying to, he is remembering Rishikesha. Rishikesham Anusmritya Prativaktum Prachakrame. Like that. Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, the devotees, while speaking about the Lord, do not think that they can do anything independently. They think that they speak only that which they are induced to speak by Rishikesha, the master of senses. Also, they understand that the proper utilization of senses is only when they are employed in the service of Krishna. So if they understand that when the senses are engaged in the service of Krishna, then that is proper utilization of the senses. Therefore, one should always seek the permission and blessings of the Lord before speaking, so that they can become free of the four defects. So if one can pray for the permission and blessings of the devotees and Krishna before speaking, then Prabhupada says one can become free from the four defects. Like that. And of course, the principle of Yayatamam Prapadyante holds good everywhere. To the extent we can sincerely pray for blessings and empowerment, to that extent we will be free from the four defects. Okay. So now, Shukadeva Goswami is going to offer his prayers. Beautiful set of prayers in the second canto by Shukadeva Goswami. So we will take a short 5-minute break and then we will go on till 12:30 to complete this chapter. Srila Prabhupada ki. We'll start the prayers. But before we start, if there are any one or two comments, questions, we can take and then we can start. Samal.
We discussed this, these two things required to become pure devotee. One is like, is
birth in a
pure devotee family and born in pure devotee family and you got the association of like spiritual master.
Yeah.
Bona fide spiritual master. Yeah. And that means like, future nobody will become pure devotee in that sense. We are not born in the pure devotee family.
No, that's one of the ways that he says. Both these qualifications need not be there. One of the qualifications at least has to be there.
Both are not.
Both are, because none of us in one sense are, I don't know, at least not me. So that qualification is the right qualification. Sometimes people get that also. Shuchi naam shri matam gehe yoga brashto bhi jahe te. Muktakeshpa.
Rui, after like, I forgot to ask this question. After last time's explanation of Virat Rupa, many of us were discussing like, so what is practical for a devotee? Like, so now should we see trees as hairs of Virata Purusha, or like, what should be our, what is practical application of explanation of Virat Rupa for at our stage like this?
See, one level of appreciation is seeing that practically everything is an energy of the Supreme Lord. That's something that we see. And another thing that we can appreciate is how much ever we can appreciate the benevolence of the Supreme Lord in seeing that how much ever further the person may be from purely worshipping the Supreme Lord, acting only for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord, but still the Lord is creating some system to help him. So in that we can see the benevolence of the Supreme Lord, and also we can see that how people with different faith can relate to different things. What is obvious to me and need not be obvious to someone else. So the same way we may see that what is the use of a Virat Purusha. But someone who may not have faith in pure devotional service may find it little difficult to relate to the personal form of the Lord. For him it can be useful. Just like someone may have, you are from which part of Maharashtra? Vidarbha. Rukmini's place. Prabhuji is also from Vidarbha. So for someone, you know, if you may have gone to various places in Vidarbha like Nagpur and other places. So for you, you have personally seen and you know where everything is. But for others who have never been there, a map can be very, a Vidarbha map can be very, it has some utility. But for you, you need not try to understand what is there in your house, in your city by looking at the map. For you, it has no utility. But we can appreciate the utility that a map has for someone who has not personally seen Vidarbha. So therefore, this is what is the fourth offense to the holy name. Is what? To blaspheme the scriptures and scriptures in pursuance of Vedic version. Shruti Shastra Ninda. So Shruti Shastra Ninda means you may say, are ye offense to hum karte hi nahi. We never commit this offense of Shruti Shastra Ninda. But we have to understand what the Shruti Shastra Ninda is. So in Bhaktivinoda Thakura and Harinam Chintamani and then Harinam in Madhurya Kadambini also Srila Vishnu Jagadagura explained. See, devotees may not blaspheme Bhagavad Gita Bhagavatam because that's their bread and butter. Huh? So that they will not blaspheme. But they may think that Upanishads, Vedas, ye sab kya backward community hai, kya aap log, you know. Now, do they have any utility at all in this? So we may think that the other kinds of Vedic literatures may not have any utility for anyone, which is not true, because Krishna is not faulty in creating all of them. So we may accept what we are qualified for, we may accept those literatures for which we are qualified for as coming in the parampara. But to think that none of the other literatures have any utility for anyone, that is Shruti Shastra Ninda. So, while accepting the literatures for which one is qualified for, we also have to develop the mode of appreciating the utility of other processes and other scriptures for others who are differently qualified. So then we can save ourselves from the offense of Shruti Shastra Ninda. So one has to see that perfect harmony. That how for people with different qualifications, there are different literatures. Krishna has very kindly created these other processes and literatures to facilitate their own progress in spiritual life. Like that. Okay. So we'll start the prayers. So now Shukadeva Goswami is offering prayers. So these are prayers for empowerment. Please empower me to speak about this creation. Like that. Shri Shuka Uvacha Namatparasmai Purushaya Bhuyase Sadudbhavastana Nirodalilaya Grihita Shakti Spritayaya Dehinam Antarbhavaya Nupalaksha Vartmane. He says, Namatparasmai, I offer my respectful obeisances unto Krishna. Purushaya Bhuyase. Bhuyase means he is more powerful, or whose powerful expansion is Mahavishnu, who is the first Purusha. Nama Parasmai Purushaya Bhuyase. Bhuyase Purushaya, the powerful expansion, the powerful Purusha expansion, Karanataka Sai Vishnu. What does he do? Sadudbhavastana Nirodha Leelaya. He performs the pastimes of Udbhava, creation, Sthana, maintenance, and Nirodha, destruction of Sad, means this universe, that which exists, this universe. Sad Udbhava Sthana Nirodha Leelaya, that Bhuyase Purusha. Namaha, I offer my respectful obeisances. How does he create, maintain and destroy? Grihita Shakti Stritayaya. Through accepting the three gunas, through the agency of three gunas, he creates, maintains and destroys. He does not personally do it. So this is the first Purusha, which is Karanataka Sai Vishnu. What does he do? Sadudbhavastana Nirodha Leelaya Grihita Shakti, by accepting the three gunas. And then he says, Dehinam Antarbhavaya. And also, as the second and third Purushas, as Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu and Shiradaka Sai Vishnu, he is the Antarbhavaya. He is the inner soul of the individual living entities in the form of Shiradaka Sai Vishnu. And he is also the inner soul or the super soul of the whole universe in the form of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. Anupalaksha Vartmane. Anupalakshya Vartmane means, Upalakshya means to see or understand or realize. Anupalakshya means cannot be understood or realized. Vartmane, Vartmane means by the paths. So a superficial understanding would say that he is not understandable by any path. But here the understanding that is given is, he is not realizable by any other path other than the path of pure devotional service. So that's the glorification of the first glorification, that he glorifies the Purushavataras. Namah Parasmai Purushaya. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the powerful expansion of Krishna, who is Sadudbhavastana Nirodha Leelaya Grihita Shakti, for the purpose of Udbhava, Sthana and Nirodha Grihita Shakti. He accepts the three gunas. Then, Dehinam Antarbhavaya. Of all the Dehis. Dehis mean those who have bodies. The universe is also an embodied entity. And the super soul in that universe is Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. And the living entities in this material world, they are also embodied. And the super soul within their body is Shiradaka Sai Vishnu. Dehinam Antarbhavaya Anupalakshya Vartmane. And such a personality of Godhead cannot be understood by any other path other than bhakti. Okay, let's try to recollect some of the prayers. At least we will try to do this. Okay, whatever word can recollect, not see your book. Whatever word you can recollect, word and word meaning we'll try to recollect. Okay. No need for mic. This is the previous verse. Anupalakshya Vartmane, which means cannot be understood or realized by any other path. Okay. Sad, universe, Udbhava, creation, Sthana, maintenance, Nirodha, destruction, Leelaya, pastimes. He performs the pastimes of Sad, Udbhava, Sthana, Nirodha, Leelaya. How does he do it? Directly, Grihita, Shaktis, Tritayaya. He accepts the three modes, and through the agency of three modes, he creates, maintains and destroys. That's about the first Purusha. But the first point, Namaha, he is offering obeisances. Parasmai Purushaya, and to the powerful expansion of Krishna. That is Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. What does he do? Sat, Udbhava, Sthana, Nirodha, Leelaya, Grihita Shaktis, Tritayaya. Then, Dehinam, Antarbhavaya. He is the, as the super soul of every living entities, he assists the universe. As Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu is the super soul of the universe, and as Sharadaka Sai Vishnu is the super soul of all other living entities. Then, as Harshad Prabhu said, Anupalakshya Vartmani. He is not realized or understood by any other path other than bhakti. Okay. So now let's try to chant three times and recollect. Namaparasmai Purushaya Bhuyase Sadudbhavastana Nirodha Leelaya Grihita Shaktistritayaya Dehinam Antarbhavaya Anupalakshya Vartmani. Namasparasmai Purushaya Bhuyase Sadudbhavastana Nirodha Leelaya Grihita Shaktistritayaya Dehinam Antarbhavayanupalakshya Vartmane. Namaparasmai Purushaya Bhuyase Sadudbhavastana Nirodha Leelaya Grihita Shaktistritayaya Dehinam Antarbhavayanupalakshya Vartmane. Who wants to try first line? Second line. Third line. Fourth. Antarbhavaya Anupalakshya Vartmane. First two lines, who wants to try? Nirodha. Next two lines. Antar. Bhavaya Anupalakshya Vartmani. Okay. Full verse, who wants to try? Try, try. We will help you. Harshad Prabhu, try. Haribol. Muktakesh Prabhu, you want to try? Anyone else? Okay, so we'll continue. So this is glorifying the Purusha avataras. Then in the next verse, how Krishna sweetly reciprocates with other living entities, that's described in this verse. Bhuyo namasat vrijunachyade satam asambhavaya kila sattva murtaye pumsam punappa ramahamsya ashrame Yavastitana manamrgyata ashuse. So we'll do it for a few verses. Okay. So this will be one of the verses. So carefully listen to the word-to-word meanings. Bhuyo. Bhuyaha means again. Bhuyo namaha. Again I offer my obeisances. Again and again I offer respects. To Sat Vrijina Chide. Sat means devotees. Vrijina means miseries. Chide means destroyer. I offer my respectful obeisances and to that Lord who destroys the suffering of the devotees. Sat Vrijina Chide. That's how he reciprocates with the devotees. Kleshadni. He destroys their suffering. Asatam Asambhavaya. Sat means devotees. Asatam means demoniac people. What does he know? What does he do to them? Asambhavaya. Sambhavaya means to appear. Asambhavaya means he makes them disappear. By giving them liberation. Asambhavaya. Asatam Asambhavaya. Sat Vrijinachide. Asatam Asambhavaya. Kills them and gives them liberation. How he is able to act for the benefit of both loving devotees and inimical demons. How he is able to act like that? Because generally, we like to act nicely with those who are nice with us and we like to act very meanly with those who are not nice with us. But how is the Supreme Lord able to act for the benefit of both? Prabhupada writes, because he is Akila Sattva Murtaye. He is the personification of Shuddha Sattva. But we are not. So therefore he is able to act for the benefit of both. Sat Vrijinachide Asatam Asambhavaya, because Akila Sattva Murtaye. Then he says, Tumsam Puna Paramahamsya Ashrame. Ashrame means he is the shelter. He is the shelter of the of those in the mode of the Paramahamsas. So Paramahamsas are devotees only. Tata Paramahamsanam Muninam Amalatmanam Bhakti Yoga Vidanartam Katam Pashyema Histriya. So here Paramahamsas refers to the devotees only. So he is the shelter of those with the mood of the Paramahamsas. But he does not neglect others who do not have the mood of Paramahamsas. Vyavastitanam anu mrigya dashuse. Vyavastitanam means those who have applied themselves to various processes to attain various goals. Vyavastitanam indicates sadhana, their sadhana. They have applied themselves to various sadhana. For what? Anu mrigya. Mrigya means they are searching. They are searching for particular prayojanas. Anu mrigya dashuse. Dashuse means he gives. So Krishna gives whatever they are searching for. So he does not just reciprocate with the Paramahamsas, but he reciprocates with everyone. So, Bhuyo Namaha, I again and again. So this verse speaks about Krishna's reciprocation. Krishna, the reciprocator. How does he do this? He says, Sat Vrijina Chide. He destroys the suffering of the devotees. Asatam Asambhavaya. He kills the demons and gives them liberation. How he is able to do both? Akila Satta Murtaye, because he is the personification of pure goodness. And Pumsam Puna Paramahamsya Ashrami. He is the shelter of those who are in the mode of Paramahamsas. But he also reciprocates with others. How? Vyavastitanam Anumrugya Dashuse. For those who have applied themselves to various kinds of Abhideya, he gives them what they are searching for. Anu mrigya dashuse. Mrigya, what they are searching for? Anu dashuse. he gives according to what they are searching for. Okay? So let's try to recollect. What do you remember? Whatever you remember, you tell. Sat Vrijinat Chide. Bhuyo Namaha. Again, I offer obeisances to that personality who is Sat Vrijinat Chide, who destroys the suffering of the devotees. Then, Asatam Asambhavaya. He kills and gives liberation to the demons. How is he able to do that? Akila Sattva Murtaye. Because he is the personification of Shuddha Sattva. Then, Pumsam Puna Paramahamsa Ashrami. He is the shelter of those who have the mood of Paramahamsas. And finally, Vyavastitanam Anumrugya Dashase. He also reciprocates with others who worship the Lord for gaining something else. That also he gives. Okay, let's try to chant this three times. Bhoyo namasat vrijinachide satam asambhavaya akila sattva murtaye pumsam punaparamahamsya ashrame vyavastitanam anumrugya dashuse bhoyo namasat vrijinachide satam asambhavaya akila sattva murtaye pumsam punaparamahamsya ashrame vyavastitanam anumrugya dashuse bhoyo namasat vrijinachide satam asambhavaya akila sattva murtaye pumsam punaparamahamsya ashrame vyavastitanam anumrugya dashuse. First line, let's do it quickly. First line. Asatam. Second line. Asambhavaya akila sattva murte. Third. Ashrame. Fourth. Anumrugya dashuse. Okay. First two lines. Next two lines. Vyavastitanam Anumrugya Dashuse. Okay. Anyone? One last time full verse. Anyone wants to try? Yes, Muktakesh.
Asambhavaya akila sattva murtina murtaye pumsa puna param paramahamsa ashraye vyavastitanam vyavastitanam anumrugya dashuse.
Hariyo. Okay, good. So Khila Prabhupada writes, Khila means inferior and akila sattva means superior transcendental nature, which has no inferior part. Akhila. As he says, Manyetad darshanam khilam. Narada Muni tells. I consider that literature, which has no capacity to satisfy the author himself, I consider that literature to be very inferior. Manyetad darshanam khilam. So, akhila means that which has no inferior part. Inferior means rajas and tamas. But of course, Shuddha Sattva is different from Sattva, which is uncontaminated by Rajas and Tamas. That material Sattva is different. That is not this. This is different. Like that. Okay, let's continue.
Namo namaste sturishabhaya sattvatam Vidura kashtaya mahukku yoginam nirasta samyatishaye naradasa swadhamani brahmani ramsyate namaha.
Namo Namastestu. I again and again offer my respectful obeisances to Rishabhaya Satvatam. Satvatam Rishabhaya. To the son of Vasudev of the Yadus. Satvatam Rishabhaya. The best amongst the Satvatas. Means Yadavas. Vidura Kashtaya Muhukku Yoginam. Vidura Kashtaya means he remains far distant from Kuyoginam, from those who are not practicing devotional service. Because they don't want to come closer to Krishna. For that reason he stays away. Because they don't want him near. Swadhamani Brahmani Ramsyate Namaha. He is the enjoyer in his spiritual abode of Mathura Vrindavan, like that. Swadhamani Brahmani. Brahmani means spiritual. Swadhamani is own abode. Ramsyate, he enjoys there. Nirasta Samya Atishayena Rajasa. Displaying powers that are unequaled and unsurpassed. Nirasta Samya. Nirasta means without. Samya means equal. There is no one equal. Atishaya. Nirasta Samya. Nirasta Atishaya. There is no one equal to him. No one greater than him. In what? Radhasa. In powers. So Krishna is not just sweetness personified, but he is also power personified. Swadhamani Brahmani Ramsyate. Ramsyate indicates his sweetness in performing various personal pastimes, and Radhasa indicates powers. Asamavardhva, he is, no one is equal to him, no one is greater than him in powers. At the same time, in sweetness also he is unparalleled. Swadhamani Ramyani Swadhamani Brahmani Ramsyate Namaha. He performs very sweet pastimes in his abode. At the same time, his powers are also unequaled and unsurpassed. Like that. That's what this describes, indicating that the Lord is the personification of both sweetness and power. So generally, this is very difficult. Power and sweetness are very rare. They very rarely coexist in the same person. When someone is very powerful, the natural tendency is to wield that power. And whenever that power is wielded, the person becomes not so... liked. When power is not there, then one can see the sweetness. So power and sweetness very rare to coexist. But in the Supreme Lord, they perfectly coexist. So therefore, Nirasta Samya Atishayena Radhasa, at the same time, Swadhamani Brahmani Ramsyate Namaha. Like that. And this becomes the qualities of devotees also when they progress in devotional service. So, Shubhada, the four aspects of Shubhada, if you remember, are Sadgunadi Pradatvam. All good qualities manifest, which means they become very sweet. At the same time, they become quite powerful. They become very attractive to everyone. Everyone feels attracted to them. Jagat Prenanam. Sarvadagatam Anurakta. One becomes very attractive to everyone. But at the same time, all good qualities are also manifest. So he becomes simultaneously sweetness personified, at the same time power personified. Power in the sense, he is like the Pied Piper. You know, everyone is following him. Everyone wants to do whatever he says. So, one of the, that's as Bhakti Rasam Sindhu explains, one of the aspects of progressing in devotional service or acquiring godly qualities is that they simultaneously, there is lesser and lesser power and sweetness seem mutually exclusive. So one can see that the more one progresses, the more power and sweetness remain mutually exclusive. They start coexisting when one progresses, just like Krishna. So he can, for him, he can have unparalleled power, at the same time be unparalleledly attractive and sweet also, like that. Okay. So here, okay, let's continue. Yat kirtanam, yat smaranam, yad ikshanam, yad vandanam, yat shravanam, yad arhanam, lokasya sadyo vidino dikalmasham, tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. Tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. He says, I namo namaha, I offer my continual respects to subhadra shravase. Subhadra shravase means the Lord with all auspicious qualities. Hearing those qualities, one becomes completely auspicious. Subhadra shravase. Yat kirtanam, whose glorification? Yat smaranam, whose remembrance? Yat ikshanam, taking darshan of whose lotus, whose deity form? Yat vandanam, and offering obeisances to whom? Yat shravanam, hearing about whose topics? Yat arhanam, and worshipping whose form? Lokasya sadyo vidunoti kalmasham, immediately destroys the impurities of man. So, that's what this says. So, this verse does not say, yat kirtanam, cha, yat smaranam, cha, yat ikshanam, cha, yat vandanam, like that. Doesn't say, one should sing the glories and remember the Lord and see the form and offer obeisances and hear about Him and perform deity worship. If all of them performed, immediately lokasya sadyo vidunoti kalmasham, it destroys the impurities of man. No. It says, yat kirtanam, yat smaranam. Or, each one of those processes is independently capable. So therefore, in Bhakti Rasam Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami says that bhakti is, can be ekanga or anekanga bhakti. Bhakti can be perfected by predominantly performing one limb or by performing many limbs also. So, predominantly performing one limb does not mean he neglects the other limbs. Like whatever is bare minimum necessary, like chanting 16 rounds, attending the morning program, these are like non-negotiable limbs. This he performs. But when he has unaccounted time, free time, then he may predominantly perform one of the potent limbs of devotional service and still he may perfect his life. So therefore, each one of the limbs of bhakti is independently capable of giving perfection. That's what he says. Yat kirtanam, yat smaranam, yat ikshanam, yat vandanam, yat shravanam, yat arhanam, lokasya sadyo vidunoti kalmasam, tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto that Lord, hearing about whom creates all auspiciousness. Again and again I offer my obeisances to that Supreme Lord. Like that. So, anyone can recollect? Six processes are given. That's very simple. యత్ కీర్తనం, యత్ స్మరణం, యదీక్షణం, యద్ వందనం, అర్హణం, యత్ శ్రవణం. శ్రవణం, కీర్తనం, ఈక్షణం, స్మరణం, వందనం అండ్ అర్చనం. సిక్స్ ఆర్ గివెన్. యత్ కీర్తనం, యత్ స్మరణం, యదర్హణం, యద్వందనం, యత్ శ్రవణం, యదర్హణం. లోకస్య సద్యో విదునోతి కల్మషం. ఎనీ వన్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ ప్రాసెస్ ఇస్ కేపబుల్ ఆఫ్ ఇమీడియట్లీ డిస్ట్రాయింగ్ ది ఇంప్యూరిటీస్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ హ్యూమానిటీ. దేర్ఫోర్ తస్మై నమో నమః. ఐ ఆఫర్ మై రెస్పెక్టుల్ ఒబేసెన్సెస్ అండ్ టు హూమ్? సుభద్ర శ్రవసే. That lord hearing about whom is very auspicious. Like that. Okay. So you can, in your free time, you can memorize this verse. All these verses are worth memorizing if you have time. Beautiful verses. So Srila Prabhupada writes here, the word kirtanam indicates both singing the glories of the Lord and recitation of scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Both are kirtanam. As the Lord is absolute, all the activities performed to please the Lord are also absolute and can give one the same effect as the personal association of the Lord. So, in Harinam Chintamani, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that when the scriptures say that by chanting one holy name, one can immediately reach the stage of prema. Why is it that so many of us have been chanting for so long, but the symptoms of prema doesn't manifest? It is one single reason, he says, is because of lack of realization of abhinnatva nama namino. He says, because of lack of realization of this one principle, that the nama and nami are non-different. Because in our life, ప్రత్యక్ష, నథింగ్ క్యాన్ బీట్ ప్రత్యక్ష. ఇన్ అవర్ లైఫ్ దర్ ఇస్ అబ్సల్యూట్లీ నో ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ఆఫ్ సమ్వన్ అండ్ హిస్ నేమ్ బీయింగ్ నాన్ డిఫరెంట్ ఇన్ ఆల్ సెన్స్. బట్ ఇన్ కృష్ణాస్ కేస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ డిఫరెంట్. ఇట్ కంప్లీట్లీ బీట్స్ ఆల్ అవర్ ప్రత్యక్ష అండ్ అనుమాన్. సో ఇట్ డజంట్ ఫిట్ ఇన్ టు అవర్ సెన్స్ ఆఫ్ లాజిక్ అట్ ఆల్. So therefore, the extent to which one has faith, one has developed faith in this one sentence, abhinnatvat nama namino, to that extent the holy name reciprocates. So therefore, these three categories of aparad nam, nama bhas and shuddha nam, then further bhava nam, prem nam, all these categories are there based on what level of conviction we have that the name and the named are non-different. Like that. So, Prabhupada is also writing the same thing here. As the Lord is absolute, all the activities performed to please the Lord are also absolute and can give one the same effect as the personal association of the Lord. It will destroy all the sins, but one should be careful not to commit the seventh offense. Namno baladyasya hi papa buddhi. One should not think that the holy name is so powerful that whatever sin I can perform, it can destroy. So I will perform all kinds of sins, no problem. Like that. Okay. Then he says, vichakshanayat charanopasadanat సంగం విదస్యో భయతోంతరాత్మనః విందంతి బ్రహ్మ గతిం గతక్లమాస్ తస్మై సువద్ర శ్రవసే నమో నమః. Again, Tasmai Subhadra Shravase Namo Namaha. Namo Namaha, I offer my respectful, again and again I offer my respectful obeisances unto Subhadra Shravase, unto that Lord, hearing about whom creates all kind of auspiciousness. Yet Charana Upasadanat. Upasadanat, by worshipping Yat Charana, whose lotus feet. Vichakshana. Vichakshana means the Jnanis. By worshipping whose lotus feet the Jnanis. Sangam Vidasya. Destroy all attachments Ubayataha. They destroy all attachment to enjoyments in this life and enjoyments in the next life like Swarga, etc. They are not attached. How do they give up that attachment? Yat Charana Upasadanat. By worshipping the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So even the Jnanis have to accept the personal form of the Lord, must worship the personal form of the Lord to attain detachment from this material world. Antaratmanah, which reside in the heart. Vindanti hi Brahmagatim, and they attain their goal of Brahman, Gataklamaha, very easily. If they are attached to the personal form of the Lord, their attainment of Brahman also becomes Gataklamaha. But if they are not attached to the personal form of the Lord, it becomes Klesho Adhikatarastesham. Gataklamaha is the exact opposite of Klesho Adhikatarastesham. So therefore he says that even those whose prayojan is impersonal Brahman must worship the personal form of the Lord as sadhana to attain their impersonal prayojan. So they cannot reject the personal form of the Lord. So therefore it is mentioned, Vichakshana means Jnanis. Vichakshana Yat Charana Upasadhana. Even the Jnanis, only through worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord, Sangam Vidasya, are able to give up their attachment to this material world, and Antaratmanah, and to that Supreme Lord who is within the heart, Vindanti hi Brahma Sukham Gataklamah, and are very easily able to achieve their goal of merging in the impersonal Brahman, only by worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord, which means acceptance and worship of the personal form of the Lord is needed even for the Jnanis to attain their goal of merging in the impersonal Brahman. Tasmai Subhadra Shravase Namo Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto that Supreme Personality of Godhead, hearing about whom is very, very auspicious. Okay? Is it clear? So, Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport that Krishna's ultimate instruction in Bhagavad Gita is Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto and Sarvadharman Parityajya. Persons who are intelligent would take serious note of these instructions and become a devotee. Sincere people will accept these instructions and become a devotee. There are various instructions in Bhagavad Gita for the Varnashram, for those who are qualified for Varnashram Dharma, for those who are sannyasis, for those who are Karmakandis, Jnanakandis, Dhyana Yogis, etc. But one who, after reading Bhagavad Gita, surrenders to Krishna to perform loving devotional service, only he has understood the essence of all the Vedas. Such a process involves the 9 limbs as mentioned in the previous verse. Then one can achieve Brahmagati. Otherwise, pursuance of any other path for achieving success is like beating empty paddy husk. One will not get any grains out of it. So he says that even Jnana Yogis have to worship the lotus feet of the Lord only to achieve their goal of merging in the impersonal Brahman. Then he says, what to speak of Jnana Yogis?
tapasvino dana parayashasvino manasvino mantra vidasu mangala kshemam na vindanti vinaya darpanam tasmai shubhadra shravase namo namaha. Tapasvino, jnanis are tapasvinah, danapara are they may be karmis. Yashasvino, Srila Vishnu Jagadago says, are like they are specialized form of karmis. Manasvina are the yogis. Mantravida are the scholars of the Vedas. Sumangala are the followers of proper contact. Kshemanna vindanti vinaya darpanam. Without worshipping him, vinaya darpanam, kshemanna vindanti, they cannot attain any benefit. The previous verse said, even jnanis can attain Brahman only by worshipping him. This verse says, without worshipping, no one can get any benefit. Kshemam na vindanti vinaya darpanam tasmai shubhadra shravase namo namaha. So, we will discuss this verse tomorrow. Today is being the first day, we started little late. Today's Bhagavatam class was also extended. But tomorrow we will start right on time and try to cover more portions. So we'll discuss this nice verse to discuss. So tomorrow we'll start our discussion by discussing this verse, and then we'll quickly go forward. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki. And after I complete this chapter, I'll give questions. Very good.